Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning. Todd Zwillick here with Lynn Scherr. With all of the attention poured onto California's GOP Senate primary yesterday, where Carly Fiorina was elected to go up against Barbara Boxer, not to mention the GOP gubernatorial primary, where Meg Whitman is going up going up against old school Jerry Brown, you might have missed an even bigger vote, potentially a bigger vote, that passed in California at the same time. It would do away with the exact races, the kinds of races like we saw with Fiorina and Meg Whitman.
I think this is huge, Todd, I have to tell
you. Well, we're going to find out just how huge it is, and it might be. We're talking about Proposition 14 in California. On Tuesday, 54% of California voters cast ballots in favor of Prop 14. It passed. This is called an open primary initiative. It effectively does away with party nominees in state elections starting in 2012, which means Carly Fiorina never would have run against another Republican for the nomination.
Maybe.
Neither would have Meg Whitman in this case. Well, they would have had to run against everybody in one big field. Well, for more on what this could mean for the state's primary calculus and for the politics of the nation, we're joined once again by Bruce Cain, professor of political science at UC Berkeley in Berkeley, California. Bruce, good morning.
Good morning.
I'll call you professor. I don't want to demote you to Bruce. Hey, how about that? Well, What exactly is Prop 14? We know what it is, but how would an open primary work in the real world?
Well, first of all, don't call it an open primary,
okay,
because you're really doing away with the primary system as we know it. And there are other things that are called open primaries that are more conventional. So it's confusing. The term we're using in California is top two.
Top two.
And basically, it's very similar to the format that we use for special elections. That is, in a special election, you don't have a primary and then a general election. What you have is a first ballot where all the names for all the candidates that are running from all the parties can run, and then a second ballot, which is a runoff. In this case, there's a mandatory second ballot. In many states, of course, in a special election, the second round is only invoked if somebody doesn't get over 50%.
So everybody runs together,
and
the top two go head-to-head in the traditional way.
Right. That's number one feature. Number two feature is anybody can call themselves whatever they want. So you can run as a Democrat, you can run as a new Democrat, you can run as an old Republican.
Are there any criteria? Is there a residency requirement? Does anyone have to endorse you? Anything?
Well, no, the endorsement part is to be determined, because the Republican Party is considering a system in which they would have caucuses that would officially endorse a candidate. But there's going to be a huge legal fight about whether somebody can call themselves a Republican without the endorsement of the Republican Party. And my guess is that they probably can under the current rules. So there's going to be a big fight about that. You could also run without a party label, just run as a blank. Two other features we got to point out here. And one is that there's no write-off. Write-in in the second round.
Write-in candidates, right.
Exactly. So let's say in the last attorney general race, you had six Democrats running and you had three Republicans. It came within 30,000 votes of the two Republicans going forward for attorney general. Now, I can assure you that in California, if in the attorney general's race you only had two Republicans, there'd be a lot of Democrats that'd be very upset, and they would want to vote for somebody in that second round, but they're not going to be able to because there's no write-in provision.
Too bad in this case. Well, who are the big winners, do you think, with Prop 14 passing?
No question about who the big winner is. It's the governor who pushed this, and Abel Maldonado, who's running for lieutenant governor. And then the bigger question is, well, what do they represent? They represent the reform community, which is bankrolled largely by mainstream business and foundations, who are really upset with the fact that California is dysfunctional and that their partisanship has become a major problem in Sacramento as it is in D.C. And the idea is that we do know that the primary electorates tend to be more liberal and more conservative than general electorate. So their logic is, well, let's do away with that, and everybody has to run, you know, in the general, you know, sort
right.
of like a general election.
So it might do away with some of the partisanship, and that's what a lot of voters seem to be looking for. Bruce Cain, professor of political science at Berkeley, on don't call it an open primary, call it top two. Professor, thanks for joining us.